Time will tell if this is actually going to record or not. So I'm hitting record now.
Let's do this.
So today we're fighting against the elements being Skype, because sometimes the Tumblr here can't hear me.
Yes.
So welcome.
And if that happens, we will start talking in sign language, but I don't know sign language.
So yeah, it's gonna be a great episode of Killing Time, because that's what you're watching right now, and we've started in a very strange way. I am IA, otherwise known as IA as Akhtar. I am the man who gives 1,000 nicknames, and with me, as always, is the man of 322 nicknames right now. That's the count. We call him the Count, JB. Or
the Count JB. That's a new one.
That's right.
The 323.
323. That's where we're at. So today, we discussed this about 15 weeks ago. I believe we were prescient about this. Today, we're going to be talking about entertainment that doesn't suck, because that's the key here about the show. And let's talk about Voltron Season 2. Did you finish Voltron Season 2?
I did.
Good.
It was epic.
And that's the end of the episode. There we go.
That's all I can say. It was... I didn't think it could be better than Season 1, but I liked it better.
Yeah, so Season 1 is great because they introduce the whole mythos. They go, here's Voltron, and here's this. They redefine everything in a very smart way, because when you're talking about pilots who are piloting giant robot lions that turn into this giant mega robot that fight bad guys, that sounds a little silly. I mean, when I say it out loud, it sounds a bit silly. But in the reimagining Legendary Defender, Netflix killed it, or at least Netflix has an awesome television show. But Season 2, they actually have what is unusual about a lot of television shows. The protagonists have a mission that lasts the whole season. It's like, how often does that happen in a show where it's like superheroics, where there's actually a build towards something? And that's that's what this whole season was about. If you haven't seen it and you like Voltron Season 2, beware, there will be spoilers. In some respects. Actually, no, we're going to spoil the show. So if you haven't watched it, pause the show, go watch it, come back, see if you agree with us, disagree with us, and let us know in the comments. So let's use that thing for once. Anyway.
I'd say what I really like, and what I liked Season 1, continued in Season 2, is they're real characters. They're not just cartoon peoples that are one-dimensional. You know, they're actual characters. Everybody.
Yeah, even the comic relief, Hunk actually has a heart. Everybody's got a heart on the show, which is actually very important. Even the bad guys have a bit of heart to them.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a goal. Everybody's got a motivation, and it all fits, which is kind of strange because in some respects, it actually reminds me of like really old Marvel comic books where you would look into the minds of people who are watching Peter Parker, and they're like, oh, well, there's Peter. I'm sure nothing exciting happens to him. Because in some of the lighter episodes, there's an episode where they end up at a mall, still looking for some lenses. And there is this mall cop who swears allegiance to Zarkon, the big bad, and he's just a mall cop. And so they rev him up, and like it looks like he's going to peel out on a motorcycle, and it's a little tiny scooter. You know, standard mall cop jokes. And he's somewhat, he's not entirely inept, but he thinks he's a big deal. And so there was a lot of that fun kind of things going on with those characters. And the whole arc is the Voltron team has decided they're going to take out Zarkon. They're not going to wait. They're not going to keep waiting for this guy to come and attack them. The idea is, we're going to go kill him. Like, that's not going to work. So that actually has the team going from planet to planet, making more and more allies, and it seems like they're going to use all those allies. That's what I thought they were going to do. And then we're going to, like, converge, which they don't do. Because it's too dangerous, I guess. So what did you think about the conclusion of the show?
I don't want to ruin that for anybody, but I was surprised... pleasantly surprised, and I don't know, I'm trying to say, I really liked it, but I didn't see it coming.
Okay, so because you're saying that means I can't spoil it, so I won't spoil it either. So this is going to be a very short section of the show then, because this was going to take about an episode. We were going to use the real-time episodes. You were going to be able to watch every episode while we're talking, but now you can't do that. Now we're just going to do about 5 minutes for this stuff. So Voltron ends on a really interesting note. It seems like they're shifting the course of the show, and it ends with this idea that you want to go, we're season three. I want to watch season three.
Exactly. Yes.
You can't
do this.
You
want to watch season three immediately.
And it's a hard-fought battle. There's actually a bit of twists. Some of them might be a little predictable, but it's essentially a children's show. So the predictability elements, while foreseeable, were still kind of good. They made sense in the story. So you weren't like, well, that was really predictable and that was stupid. You're like, well, that was predictable, but it made sense for the story. It made a lot of sense. There's a lot of logic on this show. Another thing, there's this weird reverence to the characters as if they matter. And you care about these characters because they each have their own motivations, and they also have – they're not all good, and they're not all bad. So you have these things. And, like, Zarkon seems to actually – I don't think I've ever seen this much Zarkon character development in any of the Voltron stuff before. Have you?
Right. He was just always a bad guy, the bad guy.
One-dimensional.
You know, he one-dimensional, bad guy, evil. You never saw his motivation. He was just bad.
Okay, the one thing I will... Okay, I'm going to spoil a tiny thing. A tiny thing is just when there's a call for Prince Lotor at the very end, and my jaw drops, and Liz is watching with me, and Aldrin's watching with my son and my girlfriend watching. Names just the other way around. And they're like... They stare at me like, what was that? And I'm like, Lotor!
Lotor!
Lotor's coming! They're like, who is it? I'm like, he's kind of the Starscream in the universe of Voltron. He's the second in command, a little whinier. I don't expect him to be whinier in this one. Maybe he's a little fun, but I'm expecting like a Kylo Ren style, immature, extremely emotional, and just deadly focused. I'm really hoping for that. But that's season three, and I don't even know when that's coming out. So great job to, I don't even know the animation. I think it's DreamWorks, right? DreamWorks does it?
DreamWorks does it. Yep,
it's DreamWorks. Holy crap, they kill it. It's a great show. Voltron, if you liked the original show, you're really going to like this. If you didn't like the original show, you might actually like this.
You might actually still like this. I mean, this is, and it, you know, we're in our 30s and we like the show. So obviously they're doing something right. And I know a lot of their viewership is older viewers Voltron.
On top of that, if you want to get geared up for Power Rangers, essentially that's coming out March 24th of this year. So if now I'm going to have this huge comparison, because if Voltron does it better than Power Rangers does in the movie, that's going to be a shame. If they're equal, it'd be really nice, because the way Power Rangers movie looks, it looks like it's going to be quite serious, but will the characters have the dimensionality? Will they have actual motivations, or they're just going to be a bunch of kids who are just doing some stuff? So we'll see that. I'm excited for the next season of Voltron. Have you seen the trailer for Stranger Things 2?
Yes, I saw it at the Super Bowl yesterday.
I did not see it. How was it?
They didn't give anything away, and, you know, they played the music. They showed a couple of scenes, you know, with the kids dressed up as Ghostbusters probably for Halloween. There was an Eggo, classic Eggo commercial, which is really cool because, you know, Eleven likes the Eggos, and then we hear them yelling Eleven's name, and then it says, coming Halloween.
So I received 5 messages from my son, who wasn't with me during the Super Bowl. 4 were voice messages, and 1 was, Stranger Things 2, Dad. And so, or help me find Stranger Things 2, because he was under the impression that the show was out right now. And it's not going to be out until Halloween of this year. So we've got a long way to go before season 2
comes up. Did he watch Stranger Things 1?
Yes, he did.
Really?
And he was...
Well, he watches things with lots of blood and fighting and things like that.
Well,
yeah,
the weird
scary
thing is, I was just thinking the other day, has he seen a lot of horror movies? Because I wanted to see The Bye Bye Man, which I haven't seen. But then, like, that might be too horrific. And then I completely forget that Stranger Things is a horror show.
Oh, yeah. It's fairly scary.
And he wrote that out. But then again, he was quite scared at the time. Certain times, my son is 6.5, so you can see that maybe it's the kind of show that could give him nightmares or couldn't. But he's very excited about Stranger Things Season 2, as am I. I don't even need to see the trailer because they sold me already with 1. So, if they can keep that going, same thing. Again, another one of the shows with heart. Big fan of those things.
Yep.
Anyway, anything else you've watched, read, listened to, or just created? I don't know.
Created. I haven't created much. I watched the Super Bowl, which was, I know we don't talk sports, but that was entertaining.
Yes, if you missed it. I don't know how you did. I actually did. Okay, so I was kind of bored in the first half.
You stopped watching, right?
No, I didn't. I put the Super Bowl on an iPad and I put a movie on the big screen because I was just like, all right, whatever. And then we moved to watch a movie somewhere else. And then I kept asking Alexa, what's the score? And then the score kept getting closer and closer. I'm like, that seems strange. 26-28, 28-28. And then I hear Patriots win. And I'm like, wait. So I did stop watching at some point. I'm like, the Patriots win. And I'm like, wait a minute, it was, that must have been overtime. Has there been an overtime game in the Super Bowl? The answer is no, until Sunday, February 5th. That was the first time in Super Bowl 51 where there was an overtime. And also, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, boy, do I feel bad.
I am sorry. That was brutal.
Because I believe in the first half, it was like 28-3 or something.
28-3 was, right in the third quarter, it was 28-3.
Yeah, so it looked like the Falcons were cruising. So for entertaining television, the first three quarters, at least the first, I guess, 2.5 quarters, not terribly entertaining unless you just wanted to see the Patriots get blown out. Like, ha, look at that. They deserve that. Then you're like, wait a minute. Okay, this lead is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, and then there's this amazing catch, which is great drama.
That was insane.
This replay 2 or 3 times. The first time I watched it in full speed, I thought, that bounced off the ground. No, it bounced off his hand. It's an amazing thing. And because this is killing time and we spared no expense, we cannot show you any clips of this because we don't want to get sued. Just imagine.
No. Not by the NFL. Too powerful.
Yeah.
And there was also added entertainment factor was just how bad the commissioner got booed when he was giving the trophy to the owner of the Patriots.
Yeah, I heard about this.
It was bad.
Go figure. Roger Goodell, not exactly the most popular fellow to Patriots fans, considering he benched Tom Brady. At least I thought he tried to do that last year, too. So
At this point, he's not just Patriots fans. It's pretty much most NFL fans because of the things he's done with other teams and suspensions and things like that, too.
What a guy. Anyway,
yeah, great guy.
We don't review Roger Goodell. He's not entertainment per se.
No.
Anyway, no. So I am listening to yet another audiobook. Because
what are we listening to this week?
This week, I've been listening to... Actually, this week, I'm not listening to because I haven't bothered this week. Last week, I listened to The Dorito Effect, a book by an author I forget, but it'll be on screen right now. So The Dorito Effect is about the changing tastes of food. And The Dorito Effect specifically is about this guy who brought these corn chips over to the chip maker. And they're like, well, these are okay. And Dorito means little bit of gold. Because Dorado and Dorito, see, I didn't know that.
Little gold, yeah.
Little gold, little pieces of gold. The guy says, can you make it, bring that back and just make it taste like a taco? And so the guy's like, wait, these are chips, but you want me to make it taste like a thing, like a whole thing. So they engineer the idea of taco seasoning or taco flavored chips, because that's what Doritos are supposed to taste like. I didn't know that, by the way. But now
that you
think
say
about
that,
it.
Now that you say that, I see it.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a taco flavor. So that's meat, cheese, tomato, and corn on a chip. And so So the idea is, well, that's not actually what's in it, but that's the idea of the taste you're supposed to
get. Yeah, that's what the taste they're going for.
Which is weird if you think about the Taco Bell Dorito taco. But anyway, the whole book is about the changing and of these foods, the genetic modification of things, the farming of animals, the farming of produce, and how different it's been between now and then. Really good book. The huge downside and why I've been kind of slowed on it right now, the narrator.
Bad.
Might be one of the most smug narrations I've heard. Now, maybe it's because of the way the book is written. Maybe he's emphasizing certain things. But it's so smug at times that I'm just like, I don't know if I can keep listening because it's just grating.
Uh-huh.
The one true workaround that I found is if I can modify the speed, it's not so bad. That is only available on the iOS version of Scribd. I can't do it on the web version. I can't do it on my Android phone, which leaves me on only my iPad or just dredging up my iPhone from sits around and does nothing. So that's actually what stopped me from reading this book. And I've invested about 5 or 6 hours into this 8-hour book. So I'm getting there. And I'm going to finish this book this month. And it's a really good book. And then, yes, I can switch to the regular ebook version if I wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to say, so maybe this is one you don't listen to, you actually read.
That's true. But right now I'm actually reading another book called How to Be a Gentleman. Much easier book, much lighter fare. Because I don't always like to have 2 serious books at one time. So I like to listen to one book when I'm stuck on the subway. I like to read another book if I have the elbow room to do that. So it's just kind of this way I interact with the 2 books I'm listening to or reading at any given time. Because right now that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm reading 2 things at one time. So maybe I can read this other book. But I'm just saying, if you want the audio version of The Dorito Effect, listen to the sample. The sample, I believe, on Scribd was about 44 minutes, so you get a long sample of this guy's voice, and he's not as snotty as you think in the first 44 minutes, but he gets worse.
After that, it's bad.
It feels worse, maybe because you hear it enough times, you're like, maybe it's the tone of the book, because it's like, oh, I can't even give an example, because it just grates so much in my brain, so that's gone now, I haven't listened to it in a while. So it's a great book, I'm going to finish it probably by the next time we record, because now I've got to do mm-hmm. this, and so I can give it a proper review. But it's another fascinating tale on just the changing of food and what goes on there. Because if you care about that kind of stuff, you might be interested. Like, if you eat, you might want to listen to the book.
Or and hopefully everybody does eat, or else they're not going to be around very long.
Yeah, I know. I'm also one of those people that, you know, has Soylent or Ampol or other foods, these modified things. I'll ingest this because it's calories and it's nutrition-ish, but whatever. Not nutritious. But nutrition-ish.
So nutrition, nutrition-ish.
Yes, it has nutrition-ish. That's what I'm saying.
Kinda.
I want to know more about long-term things and testing of these items mm-hmm. because I don't know what happens if you continuously ingest this stuff. Anyway, that's all I've actually gotten to read. And I tell you, How to Be a Gentleman, I haven't finished that yet. It's about 20, 30 pages left. Really easy to read. If you're curious about things like, hey, am I supposed to mention if a guy's fly is down if I notice it? Yes. Yes, you are. If you're a gentleman, absolutely. You say it. And if somebody notices about you, you quickly zip up right then and there. No apology necessary. I didn't know you didn't have to apologize. Also, Fight Club. You know how there's that age-old question? Which do I show you? The ass or my balls when you go past somebody? I think that's what he says. Or crotch. Yeah. He says crotch. Excuse me.
Crotch.
Crotch or ass. And apparently, crotch is the way to go.
No kidding.
Because you're facing the person. So it's all these little rules and like how to throw a dinner party, how to be at a dinner party, what to do when you introduce people, how to do a proper handshake. It's these little, again, very digestible chapters. It's like 239 pages. Very, very quick read. The margins are ridiculously big too. So geez, so like it's just like you go through two chapters in about 20 minutes. You're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And these little things that you didn't know. So, again, mm-hmm. a totally different side of me because I'm like, what am I eating? What does this mean? And like, wait, so I'm supposed to introduce the older person to the younger person or the other way around? No, it goes, Mr. Jones, this is Jimmy. Versus going, Jimmy, this is Mr. Jones. So I didn't know that either. Apparently there's an order to these things.
Yes, there's many, many rules.
It's like manners.
Etiquette is a strange thing.
So that's what I've been reading. Another fun thing. Again, not brought to you by Scribd, but we should be because I'm using that service like crazy.
Yes.
Any other things before we just disappear and get the fun out of here?
Get the fun out of here. I think we're good. Let's get the fun out of here.
Okay. Stop. Just stopping it there.